welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Good to get refreshed in the presence of the Lord and to be reminded of His amazing love for us. You know, a lot of times, you know, receiving His love and a big part of just being blessed by the presence of His love is just really allowing your mind to go there. Just shamelessly going there and seeing the amazing love the Father has lavished on us. And it really not being of yourselves. I mean, we know that. We know the theology of it. By grace through faith, that is not of yourselves, lest anyone should boast. We know it. But really to give yourself and say, yes, I'm going there, not because I had a good day or a bad day, or more, just because He provided that. He, while I was a sinner, He loved me. And to just allow yourself to see, picture His love for you. That is absolutely scriptural because He absolutely does love you that much. So go there. Allow yourself to go there in your mind and see yourself loved by God because you really are. Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and start this morning in a passage in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. And this is a passage that really takes place right after the Apostle Peter preaches that amazing message. You know, it's the day of Pentecost. And people are speaking in tongues, and people are wondering, what is this? Are these guys drunk? And Peter is saying, no, they're not drunk like you think they are. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. That in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And so he's connecting the dots for him to let him know what's going on. This is a work of the Spirit of God. And within that, you know, they say, what do we have to do to be saved? And Peter says, you got to repent and be baptized and for the remission of your sins, and that you'll receive this gift of the Spirit. It's for you and for your children, for as many as will call upon the name of the Lord. And 3,000 people came to the Lord, and it was an amazing, amazing time, an amazing service, and a tremendous event that you might consider like the major birth of the church. We know we had believers there already, but it was really the big day when the church exploded and really came into being in the earth in a powerful way. But here's the follow-through. Here's a few verses that happened after that big event that we love to celebrate and reflect on. It says, and with many other words, this is the Apostle Paul and the apostles, of course, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. New Living says, and all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And you'll notice that I've underlined the word fellowship in each of those, that verse 42 in both those versions, because I really want to draw our attention this morning to that concept of fellowship. I mean, we understand continuing steadfastly in doctrine, you know, prayers, breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. We observe that monthly here at Door of Life, and certainly in praying. But they also continued steadfastly in fellowship. They devoted themselves to fellowship. And this is such, I think, an important, integral part of our Christian experience and walk that I really wanted to take some time this morning to just focus on that aspect of our journey, our walk of faith. We can see that these new believers, they put fellowship as one of the center cornerstones of their life in Christ and living for God. And I think as we go through and just look at what the scriptures have to say about fellowship, we can see why it is such a it's such an important part of our Christian experience. The word is koinonia, and it just really means to just communicate, have close communication, discussion, discourse, around a certain common event or theme. And so we have fellowship. They had fellowship with each other. They continued in it. They were devoted to it. And this morning, as we look at fellowship, I just really kind of want to get into it because there's some things I really want to get across this morning. And there are different aspects of fellowship. And when we think of fellowship, it is a big word. It's a generic word, and it's used in a lot of different contexts throughout the New Testament. So we're going to kind of bring it down to a few different aspects that I think are going to help us see it and hopefully energize our understanding of fellowship and further inspire us as we're just continuing to grow in our fellowship with each other. But first of all, there's the fellowship of the gospel, okay? This is kind of, I would say, the highest, broadest level in terms of fellowship when we think about continuing in fellowship. The fellowship of the gospel. Philippians 1, the Apostle Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Your fellowship in the gospel. There's a fellowship of the gospel in a very generic sense that really hooks us all together in the body of Christ throughout the earth. The fellowship of the gospel. Now, there's been a popular trilogy that was made about the Lord of the Rings. And if any of you may have seen that, it was based on Tolkien's actual writings. And it was, if you kind of read into it and see it, he was a Christian author, and you can see a lot of the spiritual parallels and symmetry throughout that story of the Lord of the Rings. And the first installment of that trilogy is called the Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. That's like the first story, is The Fellowship of the Ring. And as you look at the story itself, you'll see that it's about this little hobbit guy who gets a ring. And it's a ring of power, and it's a very destructive ring. And as it falls into his hands, kind of the powers that be, the rulers of Middle Earth at that time, kind of gather together and call a meeting of the minds to try to decide what to do with this ring. And so as they're meeting, they realize that nobody has the power to actually possess the ring without it corrupting them. So they decide in their corporate meeting here that they have to have a mission, a fellowship that is going to take this ring to the fires of Mordor and destroy the ring. And so that's really, in essence, the whole goal, the whole mission of this big trilogy, this movie series, where they're going to try to destroy this ring. And so they have various characters who have different powers and abilities that are going to be part of this fellowship that are going to take this ring to its destruction and preserve safety and freedom throughout Middle Earth. Okay? And I thought it was interesting to hear that, the fellowship, because I hadn't really thought of it or heard of it in those terms any, you know, per se, until I really watched this story. But what it was a fellowship. It was a group of people who were working together with this little hobbit who was actually the bearer of the ring, but they all had their abilities and their strengths, and as they worked together, they had that common goal, that common mission to bring that ring for its destruction in Mordor. Now, if you kind of take that concept and you that thought here to what we're talking about here, we are part of the fellowship of the gospel, okay? This is the fellowship of the gospel. We have an absolute mission, that we have a fellowship that is built around. And that mission is clearly defined by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And there we are, making disciples of all nations. In fact, Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, then the end will come. Okay? We, as the body of Christ, the corporate body of Christ in the earth, we all have the same mission. We are all part of the fellowship of the gospel. We have different churches, even in Door County. We have different churches. We have different emphases that we might have. And if you talk about what's your church vision, we can all have our different little aspects of church vision and the way we diagram it out, the way we flow it, and all that different kind of stuff. But I can tell you one thing about any true church of Jesus Christ. Whatever our individual visions may be, they are all linked together by this. We all have that as part of our vision. That's what defines us as the fellowship of the gospel in the earth. We are all taking this gospel. We're not taking your ring to Mordor, but we are taking this gospel to the ends of the earth so that all men can be saved. It's our fellowship. It's our mission. It's our quest. There's a fellowship of the gospel. And this is why it's important to respect and love and appreciate your brothers and sisters in Christ who don't go to your church. You got to realize that this is one body with many members, and it's a big job. That's the thing that I so appreciated. In 96, I had the opportunity to be part of a Billy Graham crusade. And, you know, you see that and tremendous ministry, and Billy calls those people forward, and I just love the authority and the anointing of the gift of the evangelist. And to hear that go forth and penetrate hearts and bring people forward. But a lot of times what people don't see as they're watching the television broadcast is the 6 to 10 months before that, where our local churches got together and we prepared and we learned to work together and we learned how to be counselors together and established relationships. So when that moment came, churches all over the community came together to be a support and to be counselors and to work together with the evangelist. It was powerful. There's a fellowship of the gospel that unites us all, that makes us one even as He and the Father are one. We have that same mission. We have the same quest. And it's a very important thing to realize in these last days. As the great outpouring and the end time harvest comes in, there is going to be a tremendous move, I believe, on the ministry of the evangelist in these last days. And it's going to be a move, it's going to cause the evangelist to even come more to the forefront in a way that's going to cause the churches to unite together, to get behind the evangelist and really work together and see the ministry of the evangelist powerfully take hold in these last days. There is a gift of the evangelist. I love it when we do the work of an evangelist. We're all called to evangelize. We're all called to give account for the hope that's in us on an individual basis. And we all can and should do the work of an evangelist. But there's something about an evangelist doing the work of an evangelist. There is a power, there's an authority, there's great harvest. But behind that ministry of the evangelist, there is a working together of the local bodies of Christ coming together to help that gift come into fruition. Several years back, we had Bob Lenz come and minister. The gift of the evangelist. He's an evangelist, and he ministered at Gibraltar. And it was very cool because we had a lot of our local churches here that got behind that and supported that. And we were able to, as a community, then get the word out. And a lot of people attend that, that Bob's evangelistic outreach. We had over 75 written commitments for Christ that night right here in Door County. And I know many more hands that actually went up during his altar call. What was it a powerful ministry of? It's the evangelist and the local church working with the evangelist. And one of the things that we're going to do as part of the fellowship of the gospel is we are going to be praying for evangelism, praying for our evangelists, praying, God, show us our part, you know, also on an individual level. We're actually, in March, we're going to have Bob Lenz come to Door of Life, and he's going to be ministering here. And he's going to be helping us and equipping us to do the work of an evangelist. And I just encourage you, too, as the time draws near, to bring unsaved friends, loved ones, whoever. There is something about the ministry of the evangelist. Larry and Gigi Moans have a powerful ministry of the evangelist that God works through them. We've had them in to share their faith and communicate and help us to equip us. And so we may be drawing more on them as well, too, but we're excited about the ministry of the evangelist. I believe that is an end times move strategic of the Spirit of God. Be praying. Lord, show us how we can draw and work with the gift of the evangelist in these last days. Many of us got saved through the ministry gift of the evangelist. Nikki Cruz came to our hometown and preached the gospel. That's where I went forward. That's where I received Christ, through the ministry gift of the evangelist. It's powerful, and it's part of the fellowship of our call. We are called to go into all the earth to preach this gospel. Once we do, then the end will come. And so there is a fellowship that we have, what Paul calls the fellowship of the gospel. There was a fellowship of the ring with a purpose. We have a fellowship of the gospel with a purpose to go into all the world and reach everybody with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we do it, some things are going to happen. There's going to things that will happen up front and some things that are going to happen behind the scenes. I believe that we are going to be more, there's going to be a power and a boldness that's going to come on the people of God to share their faith in Jesus Christ. A lot of what we fight and fuss about and politics of the day and kind of get all caught up about, ultimately what it has a lot to do with is just keeping the name of Jesus, keeping your faith out of public discourse, keeping quiet, keeping silent. And, you know, the Bible says to be able to give a response for the reason of the hope that's in you for everyone who asks you, okay? So there is an asking, there is a soliciting, there is a questioning, but there's also what Jesus told his disciples. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men, all right? So there's also there's the people asking you that you're responding to, but there's also the inward leading of the Holy Spirit. Remember when the Holy Spirit told Philip the evangelist, go join yourself to that chariot. Well, all he did was what the Holy Spirit said. And then, of course, there was the Ethiopian eunuch who had questions about who this was talking about in Isaiah, and he was able to lead him to the Lord. But there will be that evangelistic anointing where God will lead you to places and people and situations. Where you are on your job and your work, you know, this is my task. Well, beyond that, there's people there. There's the harvest there. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into the harvest. And that's what we are in essence. We're laborers. And so wherever you are, there's people. Wherever you are, there's influence. And so we're saying, Lord, just show me what to say. Show me how to fish for that person's soul. So there's a fellowship of the gospel that's going to involve us individually sharing our faith, but there's going to be a fellowship of the gospel that's going to involve us, I believe, getting behind the ministry of the evangelist as local churches. That's going to unite us on a local level in terms of our churches, and it's going to be, and that gospel is going to go forth. It is a powerful, wonderful thing, the ministry of the evangelist. And a lot of times I think people have almost felt like they feel like, you know, when you think about the evangelist and get excited about the evangelist, that it's kind of an either or. Like if I'm excited about the evangelist, then I'm neglecting personal evangelism. Not at all. You can be excited about the evangelist and enjoy personal evangelism. It's not an either-or situation. And a lot of times I think we kind of feel condemned because of our own lack of personal evangelism when we look back at our maybe failed attempts or missed opportunities or maybe just our frustration of our own personal failure and don't feel like we're qualified to be able to share Jesus because I'm working through my own stuff right now. There's a lot of different levels that we can feel condemned and beat up, but I feel like that there's going to be a breakthrough in those areas and the church is going to get its backbone back and begin to declare Jesus in these last days. In a personal level and through the gift of the evangelist, the church is working together and the word is getting out. Praise God that God loves them because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the only thing that can change a person's heart. Politics work at you from the outside in. The gospel changes you from the inside out. Nicodemus, you got to get born again. That's what the world needs. They need to get born again. They need to get saved. They need to know if there's a God in heaven who loves them. And when they respond to the message of the cross, we know something else happens on the inside. You don't just get a revelation of your sinful condition. You get changed and you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And all of a sudden, your desires change. And the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. That's our message. That's a big part of our fellowship. It's the fellowship of the gospel where us cast of characters are taking this gospel, as it were, to all the world. And then the end will come as the world has had a chance to hear. And that's where Peter said, you know, in the last days, scoffers are going to come and say, hey, where is this coming? That's been promised. And Peter said, be mindful of this one thing. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. God isn't slack concerning his promise. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so, yeah, there's scoffers. Yeah, it's the last days. But it's not that God is slack. It's the evidence of his long suffering, wanting all to come into Christ. And that's where we come in. How beautiful are the feet of him who bring good news. That's me and you. And so we're bringing the good news. And God's given time. Aren't you glad even in your own life when God gives you space to repent in things? You know, as you're overcoming the flesh, the world, and the devil. And he'll give you space to repent and space to put to death the deeds of the body and space to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Well, he's given this world space to repent. He's giving the world space for me and you to come in with the gospel and to let them know that there's a God in heaven who loves them. So there is a very general sense, the fellowship of the gospel. And that's the high level thing that unites us all together that we need. The other level of fellowship that we're talking about is the fellowship of the local church. And the word of God clearly says, I thank God, this is Hebrews rather, fellowship of the local church. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, we've heard the scripture, a lot of different times, just about coming to church. You know, it's kind of the coming to church scripture, not forsaking ourselves together. But you'll notice what surrounds this. It's not just you should come to church. There's such a connective purpose in the assembling of ourselves. Let us hold fast the confession of our word. Let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. Do we see the day approaching? Do we see a day approaching, really, the return of the Lord? We can see it in the signs of the times. We can see it in the perilous times. Different things that were prophesied to happen are happening in terms of our culture. And we can see that day is coming. And the assembling of ourselves together is such an important aspect, because it's really what it's what hooks us together. It's what connects us to each other as a local body, as a company, if you will. Now, just a couple thoughts along the lines of the fellowship of a local body. One of the aspects is this. Galatians 6:8 says, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." We think of sowing and reaping, yeah. "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." New Living says, "Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith." You know, right, we want to do good to all, but he says, especially to those who are in the family of faith. And that's, you know, where we see if one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers with it. There's a coming together. The body is close. There's a knit, closely knit. There's a loyalty. There's a familyness. There's a sense of family. There's a camaraderie that Jesus said people would recognize. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this will all know that you are my disciples if you have love." Love for one another. So kind of first things first. We come to church, we are recognized as followers of Christ by the way we treat each other. By the way, we'll look out for each other and care for each other. Paul puts it this way, "Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." And so what are we talking about here? Just kind of the first aspect of the fellowship of the local church. There is a family here. There is a sense of family, of camaraderie. I'm not even talking right now about heavy doctrine stuff and statements of faith and different things like that at this point. There is going to be a sense of accountability that you have with the local body. That's a good thing that we all need. If I didn't have the local church, I would be whacked out in some little somewhere. I don't know. It's absorbed in my own self-righteousness and elitist. I mean, I've had that, you know, where early on in my Christian walk, I had to decide, am I going to stay with the church or am I going to go off, you know, with me and my five friends who are the most spiritual people in the whole world while we have to tolerate everybody else as we wait for them to grow up to our level of spiritual maturity. I remember looking in the mirror saying, Ed, which way are you going to go? Because you get the pulls and the appeals, and a lot of cults are that way. A lot of cults are formed by taking a pot shot at the mainstream church, then getting a doctrinal tangent and going off on that and saying, that's why you've had struggles with the flesh, the world, and the devil, because you didn't believe right about this one little thing, weird little tangent stuff. Whether it's a Trinity or whatever, take your pick. And the church, there is something about the church. There's something about family that you can just sense a safety. It's protection. There's a camaraderie. There's a togetherness. And that, like what Paul says, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, one accord, one mind. It doesn't mean that you're even going to see doctrinally everything precisely the same way. Did you know that? You can have variances within the same fellowship on some doctrinal different aspects. We have the basics, the foundational stuff is the same in terms of Christ, their foundation. But as we're growing and we're developing, there can be some different variances. But what there can be is a unity of the Spirit, you know, in the bond of peace. They have the same love, one mind, one accord, you know, comfort of love, fellowship of the Spirit, affection and mercy. You'll see a work of the Holy Spirit. That is wonderful. That is powerful. There is a culture of love. There's a culture of looking out for each other. There's a culture of caring within a local family. I heard somebody was interviewed. This had to do with football. And it was a football team and teams that kind of get off track sometimes. And there are a lot of times they're reevaluating their strategies and what can we do and different things like that. And somebody once said, one of these coaches who just really understood how to lead a team and how to keep a team together and produce and make goals, he said, regarding strategies, he said, when it comes to team, he said, culture will eat strategy for breakfast. The culture. Strategy kind of gets into the letter of the law sometimes. When there's a culture of love, there's a culture of caring and understanding, it's amazing how you can just flow. Different things might happen or situations or people, but there's a culture of that in the body of Christ. When we really have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, when we have affection and mercy, when we're like-minded, we have the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, not doing things through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, esteeming others better than each other, not looking out just for our own interests, but also for the interests of others. When that culture is in a church, it's powerful. That's the family stuff. We're not perfect. We have our rough edges. Sometimes, you know, we can see each other's rough edges better than we can see our own rough edges a lot of times. But that's the point. We're a family, and we love each other, and we love each other through the rough edges, and we see each other grow, and we see some of those things get smoothed out, and we see ourselves as a family grow and change from glory to glory. There's a local family that we can come, and a local family we can do good to. And Jesus said, when you guys hang out, when you love each other, when there's a sense of loyalty and camaraderie to each other, that's going to be a witness to the world. They're going to say, wow, they're followers of Jesus. They love each other, you know? And so the fellowship of the family is that. It's a place of a sense of caring and atmosphere. And it says so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, we're not the home team down here. We're the visiting team, right? Satan is the god of this world. We are on a short-term missions trip. Our citizenship is actually in heaven. We're aliens, strangers, pilgrims. You can go down the list of adjectives that the Bible uses to describe us down here. And that's where Jesus said, don't think it's strange that the world hates you. Remember that it hated me before it hated you. All right? So yes, we are not the home team. We are the God of this world is the home team. The God of this world controls the media. The God of this world controls a lot of the voices of public opinion and different things like that. The God of this world has a lot of the money and the influence in the world to make those polls. And so when we do great things, you're not going to see, you know, a lot of times a mainline news network break in with something great that you got somebody saved. You know, that's not news to them, right? And so you're going to realize that it's a lot like playing, you know, if the Packers are playing in New England and they'll score a touchdown, the crowd doesn't go wild. It's quieted. And same with you. When you score a touchdown down here, the crowd doesn't go wild. It's quieted. Now, if the Packers fail and fumble it down there, the crowd will go wild. You fumble it down here and you mess up, the crowd will go wild and they'll get on you. What do we need? We need to be able to have the body of Christ to come together and encourage each other and say, it's all right, we'll get it next time. We'll get it next time. Because even though I may not be playing in the home field, I have teammates on that field who are for me and with me. And that's why we need a halftime, and we need timeouts. We need time to be able to regroup and regather. And that's why so much more as you see the day approaching, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We need this. We need this camaraderie. We need to come off that field for a while and get refreshed and strengthened by each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. We just need it. And God knew we would need it. He put us in a body, didn't he? He put us in a body that we would begin to grow and find a real sense of camaraderie. And the other really cool thing about the body and the reason why he did that is there's nothing that'll break the force of isolation off your mind than just coming to church and being around people and worshiping God and hearing the word, and it just kind of reminds you, oh yeah, I'm not alone. There are other people here. But when you stay away from the assembly, it's easy for the enemy to isolate you and make you feel like you're the only one and stand out. And that's why God said, don't forsake. We all need that. That's why I said I'd be whacked out in some little area over there with me and my four friends, you know, thinking we're the greatest thing in the whole world, or waiting and think we've got all. And you know, it's a heavy burden being the most spiritual person in the world. It's a lot of work. I've done it. It's not fun at all. And there's just something about being part of the family. It just keeps you real. It keeps you grounded. It keeps you normal. I don't know how to say it any more spiritual than that. But there's just something about hanging out with your brothers and sisters in Christ with warts and all that we all have and growing and things of God that just helps keep us grounded and part of a family in a good way. And so we need that. And the other cool thing I love, especially, we were kind of talking about this fourth persecution, that when you look at the early apostles, they went through some stuff. They got severely persecuted for their faith. And they were chastised, told, don't go and preach anymore. In their name, they'd be whipped. And here's one of the accounts of when they were admonished to not preach anymore in that name. And they said, hey, we're going to keep preaching in that name. And it said in verse 23, and being let go, this was the apostles being let go by the Pharisees at the time. They're being let go. They went to their own companies, own companions. I think the King James says they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they had heard that, this is collectively together, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. And then verses 24 through about 29, there's a beautiful corporate prayer that is the family, the local family there, they are declaring before God. And that concludes in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together, the assembly, was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. There is a real strength in numbers when those numbers are in faith and those numbers are in agreement. There is power in that agreement. And when we come together as the body of Christ, Jesus said, if two or more are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. We know he lives in us by the Holy Spirit. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. But when we on purpose come together in his name, there's another dimension of his presence that comes among us and ministers to us in another way that we can't get in our prayer closet. Praise God for the secret place in the prayer closet. We champion that big, but it's not the all in all. We also need the body of Christ. We need to come together. We need to just enjoy the fellowship of the Spirit of God. And I just can't fully articulate it, but all I'll just say is that when you come to church, there's just stuff that God speaks to your heart. And I'm just surprised when I come to church, just the sense of encouragement and refreshing and, you know, the not aloneness. I am connected to something bigger than me. There is a body here. And it's a good accountability. It's a positive accountability, not to not to be critical or accusing, but that we love each other, we're on the same team, and like to kind of use the Packer analogy again, you know, whether that person, you know, has missed it, that's where you can say, hey, we're going to get him the next time, but we're going to go out and do it. And the other cool thing, too, is that, yeah, even though, you know, the Packers might score a touchdown in Foxborough and the crowd goes quiet, that team is jumping up and down and celebrating with them and rejoicing with those who rejoice. And it is kind of fun to be able to come to church and to be able to rejoice with those who rejoice, to be a part of the good things and say, yes, awesome. I know you're not getting that out there, but we want to say, yes, great job. Wonderful. And to be able to share the good things that God is doing in your heart as well, too. So that's the fellowship. And we kind of say this, too, in terms of prayer and being able to pray together. We are also now, if those you don't know, 9:15 Sunday mornings, we're starting a pre-service prayer time. Any time between 9:15 and the start of service, you can come on into our upper room up there. We do have, it's like right toward the back of the building, there's a stairway that goes up. And we call that our upper room. And so we were just praying before the service. So you're welcome to be a part of that. And then, of course, you know, just other prayer opportunities that we have. But it is good to know that. And if you've got some situations to be able to say, hey, I need prayer, to know that you can have a family that's going to pray for you and stand with you and be for you. So anyway, that's the other fellowship. There's a fellowship at the local church level where we're connected as brothers and sisters in Christ. And then I'm going to say, specifically, as we're kind of going from high level to lower level, there is the fellowship of individual believers. You will find that God, you know, as he's leading you by his Spirit, will direct you to a certain, you know you're part of the corporate body of Christ with that same fellowship to go into all the world and deliver the gospel. But within that, you'll sense the Holy Spirit leading you to a local church, okay? And praise God, He'll bless you and he'll feed you, and you'll kind of know in your heart which church he wants you to go in. You'll have the witness in your spirit. But you'll also find that as you get into a church, God will begin to draw you to certain members and people within that church as well, too, and begin to establish certain relationships as well. And that's absolutely a scriptural thing as well. Ephesians 4, 15 through 16 says, but speaking the truth in love, this is the Apostle Paul. He's talking about, you know, how God gave the fivefold ministry gifts for the edifying of the church, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And then he goes on to say, as he's kind of building this maturity case, he goes on to say, but speaking the truth in love, we may all grow up in all things to him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. All right, we see that same culture of love, you know, coming through that Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 2. You know, the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, affection, mercy. But we see that there's a further connection. There's a connection with parts. In other words, you're going to find that as you get in a local fellowship, that God is going to draw you to certain people, and you're going to receive what they have. You're going to be able to give out of your heart what you have. Just wonderful fellowship. And this is another one of those things that it's, you know, a lot of times we'll talk about, you know, being spiritually minded. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death. I'm going to declare the word. I'm going to pray the word. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to set my mind on things above. I'm going to be spiritually minded. All those things are powerful ways that we get spiritually minded. Here's another huge way you get spiritually minded. Sit down and talk with the believer for a while about the things of God. Just fellowship about the things of God. You think, oh, we're just going to fellowship. Something happens when you begin to just sit down with another believer and begin to talk about the things of God. I mean, you can talk to somebody you barely know, but you're both saved for 5 minutes and go levels that you couldn't go with people that have known you your whole life. Fellowship with people, individuals. And I'm just talking, you're sitting down, and there's something about it. It seems like on the surface, well, you're just going to maybe talk about something God did in your life. But it's like as you begin to fellowship, it's like the Holy Spirit starts stirring and moving in that. And as they begin to share things from their heart, the Holy Ghost will prompt you of something that is similar in your heart. And you begin to add to it and begin to talk about it. And all of a sudden, as you're exchanging spiritual scriptures and experiences and different things. There is there's a comparing spiritual with spiritual that goes on in your dialogue. And all of a sudden you get more light and more revelation. And pretty soon this act of fellowship between two people just talking about God is a powerful spiritual experience that will absolutely connect you to the body of Christ. It'll inspire you to live for God. It'll remind you that they're human just like you're human. And as they've walked through things, it'll remind you of what you've overcome, what you have done. It'll encourage you what comes out of your own mouth. It's kind of like what I've said. Sometimes I've written little things on diaries, forgot the diary, picked it up and said, wow, I wrote that? I need that today. I didn't know I already knew that. You know? And a lot of times that'll happen when you're fellowshipping with another believer. The Holy Spirit will pull things out of you that you forgot you knew, that God showed you. Wow, praise God. Like something happened to me. I'm going, wow, praise God. That really did happen, didn't it, Lord? Hallelujah. You know, and pretty soon you're getting encouraged in the Lord. You're encouraging yourself in the Lord just from fellowshipping. And pretty soon you're spiritually minded. And I'll tell you what, the things of earth grow strangely dim. And pretty soon you've chatted for 3 hours and it seems like 10 minutes. That's supernatural. That's powerful. They devoted themselves to fellowship. Devoted themselves to that, to fellowship, to getting together with other believers. And next year, we are going to have a series of fellowship events at Door of Life, different activities and things that are going to bring us together as a church family. That'll be fun. Some will be children-oriented, some, you know, might not, we'll see, but there are going to be catalyst events that are going to bring us together and get us to know each other and to encourage fellowship and provide some opportunities to get further connected, to get to know people. I'm telling you, out of simple little chats with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, life-changing events happen. I'm here today because I was just fellowshipping with Julie's uncle in my car in our garage in Eden Prairie. And he looked at me and said, Ed, maybe now's the time God wants you to go into the ministry. Maybe now's the time. He said that to me. He didn't realize that was God speaking through him. He was just fellowshipping. But it was a lot like, you know, the Acts 13 experience where they were gathered together ministering unto the Lord, and the Spirit of God said, now separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work wherein do I have called them. You can kind of get Holy Ghost calls right in the middle of fellowship. Somebody will say something and you're just, maybe they're going on and you're stuck back at that thing they said because the Holy Spirit's talking to you about it. Powerful things happen in fellowship. Fellowship is an important, vital aspect of what we're called to do, to be connected with each other in the body of Christ. These aren't times to be critical and correcting and trying to, you know, the scripture is clear. If God's ever going to be using you to correct somebody, the Bible says, and this is Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, in other words, if you're not in a, you might think, well, I'm a spiritual person. Are you spiritual right now? Are you walking in the Spirit now? Those of you who are spiritual, go to such a one in a spirit of meekness. It's a whole lot like our Good Shepherd. Come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and you know I'll give you rest. I'm meek and lowly in heart. He's going to communicate with me in a way that's meek and lowly in heart. Okay, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering your own humanity, lest you also be tempted. All right. A lot of what we're talking about fellowship wise isn't going to be rat tat tat and correcting things. There's going to be a unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, isn't there? In other words, there's a lot of things that you're going to say. Jesus, in fact, there were times he said to his own disciples, he would say, boy, there's things I'd like to tell you right now, but you can't bear them. You mean Jesus knew things that he just didn't say because he was considering where they were at the time? Yeah. He had the discipline to keep his mouth shut, because he perceived that it wasn't time. And as we begin to walk in love and fellowship with each other, we're going to have that same instinct. In other words, my fellowship, it's not about what I know. A lot of times it's about what they can bear. And as I'm fellowshipping with somebody, I'm checking on the inside. I'm checking the Holy Spirit. I'm checking, do I have peace? Do I have peace about sharing that right now? It might have to wait. Maybe the Lord is showing me that right now so I know how to pray right now, not to give them information right now. What does it say? It says speaking the truth. It says speaking the truth in love. In love. Does love really matter that much? Yeah. If you had the gift of prophecy, understood all mysteries, all knowledge, faith to move mountains, no love equals zero. Love is huge in that equation. If you can't do it in love, don't do it at all. Because you'll see that the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. They're bookends right there to everything that goes on in between. And our fellowship with each other needs to be in love. I've said this before. The pastor is not to lord over the flock of God. And the flock is not to lord over the flock of God. Not only is the pastor has to watch his P's and Q's as it relates to not being micromanaging and controlling your life, but we need to be that way with each other too. We need to have the same guard on each other and show each other respect to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And just because somebody may be going through something that you went through years ago, remember the mercy and grace God showed you as it maybe took you a little time to learn and grow and over things. Be part of that mercy and grace process, not the hammer. And so as we're fellowshipping with each other, God's going to do rich, powerful things. Yeah, we need some guidelines. And what are the guidelines? It's love. I'm doing this out of love. And good fellowship, there is just nothing quite like good, rich fellowship where you're just hanging out and good things are happening. Like I said, I was just fellowshipping with Julie's uncle and just about some things to the Lord. And he spoke those words into my life and it absolutely changed my life. Because what will happen is that person will say something, even unbeknownst how much they're saying it by the Spirit of God. They don't even realize it. And then the Spirit of God will continue to speak from what they said. There's rich, rich fellowship. In fact, some of the greatest times in your life, probably spiritually, are marked by powerful times of fellowship with other believers. That's something that we can do, that we can pursue, that we can have on purpose to believe, to fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And finally, this is Philemon. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing, he's saying, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. He's writing to Philemon regarding a slave in Onesimus that's working with Paul at the time. He says, hearing of your love and your faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. And that word, actually, the sharing of your faith is really koinonia. It's fellowship. In other words, other translations will render it fellowship. The fellowship of your faith becomes effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you. You can just get some good one-on-one fellowship time, and it can be just a great testimony. What God has done for me, what God did in my life. And so, yeah, guess what God did in my life? And you begin to express what God has done, and it becomes effective in your life. The fellowship, it becomes alive. And like I said, you get reminded, you get stirred up. That's what would happen with the kind of the original scripture we're looking back there in Hebrews chapter 10, where it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And that's a lot of times what happens when you have good fellowship. There's a stirring up that's going on in the inside of you. And you leave your little fellowship time, and there's just a fresh charge in your battery. And there's a fresh sense of direction and a fresh sense of the presence of God. It's hard to say. You know, when Jesus said, where two or more are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. And I'm just saying, just two of you, really fellowshipping on the things that you can sense the presence of God. It can get thick, and it's just two of you talking about God stuff. Why? He's in your midst. You're on purpose gathered together in his name, declaring the good things that are in you, you know. And as you're declaring those good things that are in you, the sharing, that fellowship becomes effective in your life. So just wanted this morning to kind of go through the concept, the idea, the basic staple of Christian fellowship that we have as believers. The first, of course, being the fellowship of the gospel. We are part of the epic, if you want to call it the epic story, the epic battle, story of stories. We are main characters in a worldwide epic that the Bible says the angels desire to look into what's going on in the earth as key central players. We are the fellowship of the gospel. with a commission to take this gospel into all the world, that everybody can hear this message. And I believe, again, as we're going forward, you know, vision of Door of Life, is there is going to be, I believe, an increased focus on evangelism, the ministry of the evangelist, the ministry of the evangelist, on purpose appreciating, not feeling condemned because we're not doing enough in personal evangelism, but appreciating the ministry of the evangelist and praying for that ministry and saying, Lord, show us how to get behind that ministry. And I believe that ministry will go forth and in turn help us and teach us how to do the work of an evangelist. And that message is coming back strong in the church. Remember how those disciples said they were commanded, don't preach anymore in that name. Said, you judge between God, you know, whatever. We're preaching in that name. And they came together as the local fellowship of the local church, and they prayed, and that place was shaken. Behold their threatenings. And we pray that miracles be done in the name of your holy child, Jesus. That's the church coming together. Not feeling sorry for ourselves and beat up and hurt and persecuted and bitter and angry and mad. No, keeping our eye on the ball, which is the fellowship of the gospel and getting that message out. We don't have time to feel sorry for ourselves. We got more important work to do. We got to get this word out to all the earth so that people can know there's a God in heaven who loves them. And keep our focus on Jesus and keep our focus on Him and let Him work through us, let Him work through the church. And then finally, there's going to be the fellowship of the individual believers. Within that local church fellowship, you're going to see people that you seem to be drawn to, and God is going to, you know, it'll be seasons. You know, you might be drawn to certain people in some seasons, and then God will show you other different people. And this is not to be, I don't say this mean to be clicky. You understand that. I'm just saying that there are people within the body of Christ that you're going to feel a sense of drawing to. And that's why every part effectively does its share. In other words, God brings you to a body because there's some stuff that people have in them that God wants to get to you through them. You know, there's a lot of different ways God can answer your prayer. He'll answer it, you know, maybe through one person, you know, different aspects of, you know, could be somebody sends you money in a check one day, you know, and that's great. That's one way He'll answer your prayer. Another day you might get a deal on something, but that financial need can be met a lot of different ways. But you'll find that there's things you're asking God about. Maybe you're asking God for wisdom and direction, and that wisdom and direction comes through a person that you're fellowshipping with after service. Nothing the pastor said that Sunday morning, although it was still good and it blessed you and fed you. But you're talking to that person afterward, and they say, just the thing that you needed. Well, praise God. You came to church that day to be fed and to receive that vital supply of the Spirit of God. It's all working together. And you're part of that supply. You got something to give. You got something that you're speaking, and all of a sudden you just didn't even think about it, but it's just coming out of your heart. So it's powerful. It's something that we dedicate ourselves to fellowship and to realize this is a vital part of our Christian walk. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much this morning for the opportunity of fellowship that you've provided, Lord, that vehicle of fellowship so that we could be connected as a body, that we could be a part of something bigger than ourselves, that there is a fellowship of the gospel. We have a call. We have a mission. We're this group that's gathered together in the earth to get a message across. Our feet are beautiful. The word is precious. It's your love. We pray, Lord. We pray, Father, that the fellowship of the gospel will go forth in these last days. That evangelist ministries will be blessed, that they will be prayed for, that they will be respected, that they will be honored as your gifting to the body of Christ, and that we would see them and receive them and appreciate them as what they are, gifts to the body of Christ. Show us how to pray for evangelists, to care for that ministry, to support those ministries, to be a blessing to them, Heavenly Father. And I pray, Father, in turn, that ministry of the evangelist bears much fruit in the earth and also helps us, shows us, equips us, trains us, Father God, as we learn to share our faith and give, Father, an account for the hope that is in us, as we learn how to fish for men, that we don't learn in condemnation, but we learn in hope. We learn in expectancy, being part of this great fellowship of the gospel, doing our part. We thank you, Lord, too, for just for the local church. We thank you for Door of Life. We thank you, Father, for this family, this very sweet, wonderful family of God. So thankful for each one, and that you called those to be here by your prerogative, by your spirit, by your leading, Father God, that people are here that need to be here. And we just thank you for that unity, the spirit, and the bond of peace. We thank you, Lord, for that love that abounds. We thank you for a sweet flow of your spirit, for good accountability, a place where we can come and experience your presence. Father, I just pray for each one that they would be blessed and feel secure in this place. And pray, Lord, that as you lead us within this place to individual believers, that you will just cause us to be strengthened, to be blessed and to be a blessing, to have ears to hear, Father, the things that are coming through our brother and sister in Christ, even as we're fellowshipping. We just thank you for it. We thank you that we can continue in fellowship, that we can enjoy this precious gift that you've put us in a body to be a blessing to each other by that which every part does, every part doing its share, that supply that each one has. May each one see, no one recognize, there is a precious supply, there's a treasure in that earthen vessel that they bring every time they come, and that they may receive of other treasures in this church too. Thank you, Lord. We just pray now that this truth, this word, would just be sealed in our hearts, that we would be encouraged, stirred up to love and to good works, stirred up to fellowship. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.